Blog Talk Radio.
Network, our number 718-506-1944. That's 718-506-1944. We're live in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. today as we broadcast live on February 27th, 2013. For those of you who are listening live on the air, you can also get in touch with us in our quick chat room if you have a question or comment for today's guest. He is author Kevin Murphy. The book is Surviving Cancer After Surviving Cancer. It's available from our friends at Headline Books at bookstores everywhere and online at Amazon.com. Imagine, if you will, you're a young newlywed couple. Everything is hunky-dory as can be. You're incredibly happy. You've landed a great job as an up-and-coming attorney in a high-powered law firm, and suddenly your wife is diagnosed with cancer. Can you imagine how that would change your life forever? And not just any cancer, a rare cancer, a cancer that has a very, very limited opportunity for 100% recovery. And then, on top of it, your wife is pregnant. That's exactly what Kevin Murphy went through. He's written a book about the ordeal with tips on how folks who are battling cancer in a marriage can get through it. Kevin, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Burke.
It just it boggles the mind to think about what you went through, and this was some time back. But sort of take us through that period. You are you grow up as a tough New York City kid. You're a union truck driver. You put yourself through law school at night. You finally get a good job offer at a law firm in Ohio, and you and your wife move down to that part of the world to start your new life together. You are newlyweds. You are deeply in love. Then what happens?
Well, there were some lumps that appeared in her neck, and we had those taken out, and we held our breath while we awaited the results of the biopsy, and we were told great news. The lumps were benign. That the Ohio Valley causes people to have sinus issues and lymph node issues, and everything is fine. And I remember we went out to dinner that night, and we celebrated because obviously we were very, very relieved. But unfortunately, Burke, they were wrong. They missed the cancer. And when they properly diagnosed the cancer, down the road a bit, we were 4 months pregnant with our first child.
Unbelievable. How old were you and how old was your wife at the time?
Let's see, I was 30 years old. She was 27 when this occurred.
Wow. And when you got this false diagnosis, you see, you went out and celebrated. You had a big night on the town and a dinner, and you had that moment where you wiped your brow. As I read the book, there really was no thought of, maybe we ought to get a second diagnosis. Second diagnoses are generally when people get bad news. You didn't even think about that when you got good news, did you?
That's exactly right. We know when you get good news, you march on. You don't even think about having somebody else take a second look. But obviously, in retrospect, how I wish I did, because the person who read the slides missed the cancer.
And as a young guy, a young, tough New York guy, once you found out that the person misread those slides, what was the temperature that your blood was boiling at that time?
Well, I was overwhelmed with a toxic brew of emotions, which I discuss in Surviving Cancer After Surviving Cancer. The first time you get that news, you're numb, and they tell you your wife's got cancer, and after you hear those words, the doctor's lips are moving, but nothing's sinking in. And as the days went by, I started to realized that somebody had put us in this terrible predicament, and I started to feel a whole host of emotions, including anger, which, of course, I was looking in the rearview mirror. There's nothing you can do about the past. You've got to look forward. But boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what. I wanted to know who that person was, why it happened, how it could happen to us. So many questions, of course, that really had no answer.
Kevin Murphy is our guest today. The book is Surviving Cancer After Surviving Cancer. It's available in bookstores everywhere. Kevin, guys tend to... And maybe I'm generalizing here, but guys tend to want to be the fixers. We want to fix things. We want to make it right. We want to provide and take care of business. That was a huge issue for you in this book, and you talk a lot about that.
I do. You know, we're wired to be fixers, to be the person that the whole family can rely upon. And what I stress in this book is that when cancer rings your doorbell, it is it's an enemy that you can't punch, you can't take by the collar and throw out and give a kick in the rear end on the way out, and that is a tremendously frustrating thing for many, many, many men, including myself, because I had an enemy in the house, and I couldn't do anything to get rid of it, and so much of what was going on with my wife and with this cancer was out of my control. And if you are a person that has made his or her own way, and you are a type A personality, this can drive you crazy unless you seek help. And that's one of the major messages that I have in this book. I urge men in particular that you cannot take this disease on by yourself.
And when you say get help, I mean, what kind of help? Because that is such a foreign concept to most guys to ask for any kind of help. You know, you go to a funeral, you see a sick friend, and you say, is there anything I can do? And the other guy says, no, we're just fine. I mean, it's guy code. What kind of help are you talking about? What should guys try to get and assist with?
First and foremost is talk about your emotions. Get them up and get them out. Keeping them in is not a good thing to do. And there's so many things that are available now for people. If you have good insurance, of course, counseling may be one of the things that are covered. But there are a lot of men who, for reasons unknown, including myself, back then, the sins of youth, I thought if you pulled up into a psychologist's office, you know, there was something wrong with you. It was like a scarlet letter, if you will. But in reality, a real man who wants to stay strong for his wife, who wants to stay strong for his family, wants to stay strong for that sick child that he may have in the house, he's got to be healthy himself. So, you can go for professional counseling. B, you can talk to your pastor or your rabbi. And, you know, you can take a buddy out and say, hey, look, I've got to talk. Or if you're that friend and you see that friend of yours whose shoulders are slumped and chins down and struggling with the suffering, call them up and ask them out for a cup of coffee or a beer and listen.
And just listen. Kevin Murphy is our guest today. He's one of the top trial litigators in America, based in Cincinnati. He's also the author of the book, Surviving Cancer After Surviving Cancer, from Headline Books. And this is a book that takes you through Kevin's journey, but in each chapter he also gives practical common sense advice for people on how to cope with the emotional side of cancer. Kevin's not a doctor, although this book was endorsed by Dr. Bernie Siegel, and I thought Bernie had some interesting things to say in the foreword to the book when he endorsed it, Kevin.
He did. I was very, very humbled by the fact that he was willing to write this foreword, and that's one of the things that he pushes and that grabbed him about this book, was that there is two sides to this disease. There's the physical side and the side we see with the pink ribbons and the relays and the races and all the celebration of survivors, which, trust me, is terrific.
Sure.
But we don't see the underbelly, the flip side of the coin, and that's the emotional destruction that cancer wreaks upon so many families. And the divorce rate among cancer couples soars, especially when the woman has cancer. And Bernie was very excited when he read my manuscript when I sent it to him, because he said to me that there wasn't anything like it. and that it was about time that somebody addressed this issue that a lot of folks in the cancer community want to sweep under the rug because it's such a difficult situation. But let's face it, you know, if you want to try to beat this disease physically, you've got to be strong emotionally. And the last thing anybody needs in a household is to be worried that their family's breaking up while they're trying to defeat this disease. And that's the step-by-step approach that I try to take with this book to teach couples, and with a little bit of a slant towards men, how to walk down this difficult road and come out not only with your marriage and your family intact, but stronger.
And, you know, I don't want to give away anything, but you certainly talk about it even on the dust jacket for the book, that you're one of the guys who did not walk away with this. Your wife was cured of the cancer. The marriage went to hell.
It did. It certainly did. And, of course, it takes two to fall in love, and it takes two to break up a relationship. But in this book, I choose to take a look at my own mistakes and trying to share that with people so that they understand how not to make the same errors that I made because of the fact that this toxic brew of emotions overwhelmed me. And I didn't seek out guidance. I thought I could handle it on my own. You know, and there was one situation, Burke, where one night I was driving home from work in the middle of all this, and all of a sudden I looked up and realized that I had driven 60 miles past my exit.
Wow.
And I pulled over and just lost it. Tears flowed that were welling up inside of me for many, many months. I could have killed somebody. I could have harmed somebody else or another family in a car. But, you know, my mind was racing and I was suffering from so much fatigue. And you would have thought that would have been a wake-up call.
Sure.
To me. But, you know, there's many other good things about this book, about the wonderful things that people did for us during this trying time, and how I can remember each and every one of these folks, dead perfect strangers who lent a hand. And so I also focus on these angels, as I call them, how they appear in your life when the times seem to be the darkest.
Kevin, if you can stick around for just a few more minutes, I want to talk to you about the role that your faith played in this entire journey. Can you hang on?
Yes.
Kevin Murphy is our guest today. The book is Surviving Cancer After Surviving Cancer from Headline Books, available at bookstores everywhere and Amazon.com. Back right after this on The Burke Allen Show.
Over 14 million people witnessed his emotional story of survival and triumph on national television.
I've been doing this, man, for so long, like ever since I was a kid.
Millions more voted him their favorite in a landslide win.
The winner is...
And now, you can be a part of the experience live.
Landau Eugene Murphy
Jr. Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Your America's Got Talent winner.
I've got you.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Under my
live. Performing classics from the Great American Songbook and his Columbia Records debut CD, That's Life.
That's Life.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.'s That's Life Tour. The one concert event this year you absolutely can't miss.
See Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. from America's Got Talent in concert coming to a city near you. For a complete list of concert dates, see LandauMurphyJr.com. Thanks for listening. It's the Burke Allen Show live in Washington, D.C. at 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. We would love to hear from you this afternoon with a question or comment for our guest. He's Kevin Murphy. The book is Surviving Cancer After Surviving Cancer, Coping with the Emotional Side of Cancer. Kevin joins us on the line from Cincinnati. Kevin, you refused help when it was offered to you in many cases. And yet there were some folks that just sort of showed up in your life that you didn't ask for help. They just gave it, and at a moment of weakness, I guess, you would have said at the time, you accepted, and it made all the difference in the world.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there was one time when I was completely broke. No money in a savings account, no money in a checking account, and didn't know how I was going to get my car out of the airport parking lot because my wife and brand new baby were 2,300 miles away being treated at Stanford University Hospital. And I remember one afternoon the postman coming and putting something in our mailbox in that rented house, and I was wondering, you know, what that might be. Nobody knows us out here, except for the folks, you know, a few folks at home. And I went, and I opened up the envelope. It was addressed to me, and it had a little post-it note that said, "Heard that you were struggling. Figured you could use this," on a post-it note. And it was a check for $2,000 from an acquaintance, not even somebody that I would see very often. But the word, I guess, got around that we were struggling, and I wept right there at the mailbox because I didn't have any idea how I was going to get my car out of the parking lot because I wasn't going to be paid for another 8 or 9 days. And so there were more than a few of those instances where people helped us. There was another man whose wife was being treated at Stanford who, when he heard that we were having severe car problems and we were having to take cabs to and from the hospital, lent us his brand new Cadillac, had it driven to our home, and said, "Use this until your car is fixed." A dead perfect stranger who did not know us threw us the keys to one of his automobiles. That's pretty special.
That's unbelievable. And Kevin, I mean, you were a young guy, a young couple. You were well-liked at your home area there in the Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky. You could have asked, and people would have said yes. You could have said, "Hey, I need a few bucks," or can you make me a loan? I'm good for it. I've got a good job. We're just having a really trying time. We've had to rent this house in California so that my wife can get treatments out there. We're flying back and forth. I'm flying back and forth every week. Can you help me out? But you didn't. You didn't ask for help. Why not?
Pride. It's one of the seven deadly sins. The way I was raised, I had a World War II dad that said, "You take care of your own business. You don't complain. You don't shed a tear. You get knocked down, you stand up. Somebody throws you a punch, you throw three at them." So that was the type of mindset that you have to take care of your own business. And for some reason, some very, very foolish reason, putting my hat in my hand and asking for money somehow made me a lesser person. And what I try to explain in the book is that you don't ask for this to happen. I didn't ask for cancer to ring my doorbell. And the fact is, crisis comes to every life. No one goes from 0 to 75 without a major crisis. And when the time comes, a smart man, a man that cares about his family, is going to seek out the help he needs in order to maximize the chances of not only the beating the cancer, by keeping the family intact. And that's what I didn't do. And a lot of it had to do with pride. A lot of it had to do with the way I was raised.
Kevin Murphy's our guest. The book is Surviving Cancer After Surviving Cancer. You tell a pretty amazing story about, without naming names, I guess, the callousness of the guys that you worked for and the things that they said. It's amazing to me to think that that could still happen, and yet I'm sure that some families that are going through this, going through a severe illness with a spouse or another family member, probably see it every day. Tell our listeners what happened with your employers.
They never offered to give me the time off, and so I had to, for five-plus months, I would leave Cincinnati on Thursday night. I would have to fly to San Francisco. Very fortunately, the airlines gave me a very good break because of my wife's employment. And then I would have to fly back Sunday night on a red eye out of Frisco. I would land Monday morning at 6:30, go home, shower, shave, and go to work on no sleep. And no one ever said to me, why don't you take these next couple of months off and be with your wife and brand new baby? And to this day, it amazes me that people could be that callous. But then again, got to put a little bit on this on me. Did I ask or did I push the envelope? Or did I go from to one partner after another until I could try to find someone that would say yes? No, I didn't. Why? Because I was worried about losing my job.
Right.
Perhaps needlessly. But, you know, here it is. You know, these folks that are have taken an oath to help people kept me 2,300 miles away from my wife and brand new baby. And as a result, I had to have someone out there every week for 5.5 months to care for her. And the expense of that contributed to us going broke.
Did you actually have to file bankruptcy by the end of this whole thing?
I never did. It's another one of the things that maybe I should have done, but pride got in the way.
Right.
I told everybody that I would pay them back, and I made a promise to myself that I would do that. But, you know, the sheriff did come to the house with the papers to evict us, and there was a time when I had to hide my automobile from the repo man. And, you know, those are pretty ugly things to have happen to somebody in this day and age, you know, even back then. But I got through it. It took me years and years of little checks, drips and drabs, $20 here, $50 there. But years later, I got back to even. So I never did. But in retrospect, maybe I should have. It might have made life easier for us after she came back from California.
Kevin Murphy is our guest. He's written this searing book called Surviving Cancer After Surviving Cancer, and it's filled not only with Kevin's story of what he went through to see his wife beat cancer, only to see his marriage crumble, but also some real good common sense tips that you can pass along to folks that may be dealing with a serious illness in their own household. Famous college basketball broadcaster Dick Vitale says of the book, Kevin wrote this book to help couples cope with the emotional side of this dreaded disease called cancer, but men, take heed, read this book, and learn that when cancer comes to you, your wife, or a family member, it is okay to pray, to weep, and most important of all, seek help from others. This book will make a difference in your life. How much difference did prayer make in your life?
A lot more now than it did then. You know, sadly, I was, of course, a believer in God, but on the surface, you know, never really taking serious time, even, you know, in good times. And, you know, it's real easy to pray a lot when things are bad. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten wiser, and I've come to realize that, you know, the ticket to life is the same thing about this disease, what I call the three F's, faith, family, friends. Those are the things that are the most important in life. And, you know, Burke, back then in my early 30s, what does a lot of men do in their early 30s? They're climbing that corporate ladder.
Sure.
They're trying to change the size of their car and the make of their car. And so many of us equate money with success. And as I've gotten older, I've come to understand that your faith in God, the church community, your family and your friends, that's what's important. Again, hindsight's 20/20. I just wish I had somebody that could have grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and said, hey, buddy, you need to walk a little bit of a different road. It would have been a good thing. But I didn't. Unfortunately, I didn't have that kind of a mentor. But then again, I didn't go seek one either.
You say in the book that your wife was quiet to begin with, was a sort of a shy, quiet, wallflower type lady. And then as this cancer scare happened, and it was quite a scare. I mean, this was a year you were dealing with this and her being separated from you all the way across the country. She got even more quiet, and you didn't try to pull anything out of her. So the house just got quiet and stayed that way, huh?
Cancer, if you let it, will cut down communication. And I've talked to a lot of people as I've given speeches around the country about this. Oddly enough, the person who has cancer sees that everybody around him or her is upset and worried and somehow internalizes that. Easy for us to say from afar, how ridiculous that is, but it's actually a fact. People get very upset about upsetting their family. So they don't want to let on that, you know, how sick they are or how frightened they are or how worried they are that they're not going to see their children grow up. The caretaker, the caretaking spouse, doesn't want to show the cancer victim a moment of distress, wants to be strong, wants to be there. I mean, that's what love's all about. But that caretaker needs attention from people as well, because that's a hard, hard job. And so communication is the key, to sit down and to talk about fears and emotions. And when they get out, they don't, you know, they're not quite the monster they are when you keep them inside.
Kevin, you in the book you mentioned something that you did or that I thought was proactive and made an awful lot of sense, but it didn't play out. And I wanted to get your take on that. And that is, you know, you didn't ask for a lot of help, but one thing you did do is you went to your banker and said, "Look, this is what's happening. My wife has cancer. We've got to rent an extraordinarily expensive house, not a fancy house, but an expensive house in Northern California close to the hospital. I need some help delaying the mortgage payment. You know, can you just do interest for a while?" Or whatever that conversation was. And he said, yeah, no problem. And yet, something happened there, and they were coming after your house. So is it a good idea or a bad idea to talk to some of your debtors, you know, the folks that you have your car payment with, your house payment with? What say you on that as an attorney and a guy who went through this?
I think it's a good idea. I think in a situation like that, where if a person doesn't have very good coverage, or if, you know, the loss of that second paycheck, you know, a lot of people say, well, that, you know, they go on disability. Well, most folks know that disability doesn't come anywhere close to your full paycheck.
Right.
It is a good idea to go and sit down and say, okay, here's my situation, to the car loan company or to the credit union or to the bank. The only thing they could say is no. And, you know, one thing about the judicial system is it, you know, it's those folks that sit up there with a robe and a gavel, they're not without a heart. And this disease, Burke, this disease strikes everybody.
Right.
And so that person sitting up on the bench is going to have someone in their family that was stricken by this disease. And, you know, if you try to do the right thing and the person behind the desk decides not to do the right thing, well, there are methods and there are ways that you can extend it. So I would try to deal with it right up front. I did do that. Yes, the bank did come 3 or 4 months later to ring my doorbell and serve me with the papers. Quite an emotional moment, by the way. I knew the deputy sheriff. He handed it to me and he started to cry. It was a moment. I had to actually comfort him, the guy with the badge and the gun. But I you know, again, think about it though, Burke. All these years later, I remember the tender moments of people like that. And that's really important, because we all have so much power to help others. And, you know, cancer survivors do that. But even if you're, you know, a coworker of somebody, you know, just to listen, just to offer an ear or a shoulder, you can't imagine how much power there is in that.
Kevin Murphy is our guest today. Kevin, we've got about 60 seconds left. The number one piece of advice that you would give people the second they find out that their spouse or their family member has been diagnosed with cancer, what is the first thing they should do?
Make a plan to constantly keep communication open. Number two, that we're not going to let this thing beat us, not the disease, not the relationship. And third, remember the three F's: faith, family, and friends. And finally, remember the one thing I try to end every speech with, and that is, cancer can never defeat love.
I don't think it can be said any better than that. Kevin Murphy is our guest. The book is Surviving Cancer After Surviving Cancer, Coping with the Emotional Side of Cancer. You can visit Kevin online at klmurphy.com, and also pick up the book at bookstores everywhere, from Headline Books, and online at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, wherever great books are sold. Kevin, thanks for being on the show today. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, Burke.
You bet. Live in Washington, D.C., I'm Burke Allen. Wherever you go, whatever you do today, make it a great day, and thank you so much for listening.